everyone. My name is John Piven, and this is The Real Rewind, where we take a look back at some of our favorite movies growing up. And this first season of The Real Rewind, we are comparing Disney classics to their own remakes. Last time we looked at Pinocchio. This week, we're going to be looking at Dumbo. Now, before we start talking about the movies, let's talk about the origins of the story of Dumbo. Who wrote it, and where did it come from? Well, unlike Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Pinocchio, where Disney pulled from a published source, like the Grimm fairy tales and an Italian novel, respectively, Dumbo was more of a concept that was presented to Disney by its writer, Helen Aberson Mayer. Helen Aberson Mayer got her inspiration for Dumbo from another elephant at the time named Jumbo. Jumbo was known for its sheer size, and there's a lot of controversy behind Jumbo's history, how Jumbo was sold to P.T. Barnum, which is another controversy in and of itself. We won't go into the history behind Jumbo, just know that Helen Aberson Mayer came up with the concept of Dumbo based on this other elephant. The original concept behind Dumbo was that he was going to be a roll-a-book story. Now, a roll-a-book was a toy at the time that had a scroll on the top. You'd feed it in this box, and it would come out, and you would read along as if it were like a self-playing piano. Here's a picture of the roll-a-book, and unfortunately, there are no published stories of Dumbo. Helen Aberson Mayer approached Disney to sell the rights to Dumbo, and Disney bought the rights, made the movie, and published a bunch of children's books, golden books, of Dumbo. So you could say, much like Mickey Mouse to an extent, Dumbo is Disney's property through and through. Now let's talk about the 1941 Disney classic Dumbo. The runtime of this movie is 61 minutes, making it Disney's shortest feature-length film. The reason for this is because Pinocchio and Fantasia were considered financial flops, and Disney had to rework the budget and find ways to find money to make Dumbo. Cutting the runtime down to 60 minutes and playing shorts before the movie premiered is one of Disney's ways of saving money. The main concept of Dumbo is, of course, Dumbo and his gigantic ears, which the other elephants in the traveling circus that he's born into view as making Dumbo a freak. However, there's unconditional love from Dumbo's mother, Mrs. Jumbo. And there's a lot of cute scenes that play into it where we see Jumbo bathing and playing with Dumbo, and it's just, they have a bond that just warms your heart. Now the traveling circus decides to present Dumbo to the world. All the kids come in, and they start viewing all the animals, and then there's one kid in particular who is making fun of Dumbo for his giant ears. And Mrs. Jumbo obviously doesn't like this. Now my question is, who allowed this kid to run under the ropes into the elephant's den, grab the elephant, and pull him so we could see? No one's watching this kid at all. And he completely disrespects Dumbo, causing Mrs. Jumbo to protect her kid, Dumbo, but goes into a wild frenzy to which Jumbo is locked up and claimed as a mad elephant. Now, Dumbo is motherless, shunned by the other elephants in the circus, and is befriended by a mouse, whom elephants are afraid of, named Timothy. Now, Timothy gets this idea that Dumbo could be this big class act because of his giant ears, so by playing like a voice of conscience or reason, Timothy goes to the ringmaster and convinces the ringmaster that Dumbo is going to be the climax to this big vision he had with all the elephants. The act we see are these elephants building a pyramid on top of this little ball, and the climax is Dumbo running down, jumping on a board, landing on top of a platform, and waving his little Dumbo flag. This, of course, goes horribly wrong since Dumbo trips on his ears and, instead of jumping on the platform, runs into one of the elephants, causing the whole thing to just dismantle. After the debacle of the whole elephant act, Dumbo is then reduced to being a clown, which the other elephants consider to be the most disgraceful, shameful thing that could ever happen to an elephant. So they make a solemn pact that Dumbo is now no longer considered an elephant. And we see the clowns that are making fun of Dumbo as part of this fireman's act, where Dumbo is a baby with giant ears, and he's supposed to leap off the building and into this bucket of whatever. And the whole point is to humiliate Dumbo as the clowns are just goofing off. While the clowns are celebrating how great of an act they have now with Dumbo involved, Timothy manages for Dumbo to meet his mom, Mrs. Jumbo, who's locked up in the cage. And this is where the song Baby Mine plays. Now, Baby Mine makes me cry every single time I watch it. Dumbo hasn't seen his mom for God knows how long. He's now part of this act that is so shameful and disgraceful. The elephants have shunned him. And even then, Dumbo can't see his mom. The only thing that Dumbo has is his mom's trunk, being able to reach out of the wall and just carry Dumbo. Yeah, I'm good. What can I say? It's really sad and they can't talk about it, okay? So after that heartwarming and tear-jerking scene, Dumbo leaves his mom and they go back. And the clowns at this point, they have this big idea to raise the platform that Dumbo jumps off of. And they're going to go tell the ringmaster. And on their way out, they bump a bottle of whatever they were drinking into the bucket of water that Dumbo drinks out of. Dumbo drinks this water. So does Timothy the Mouse. And there's no way around it. They get hammered. Back in the 1930s, 1940s, one of the things you said when you were inebriated was that you were hallucinating or seeing pink elephants. Hence the song, Pink Elephants on Parade. And I'm just going to ask you guys right now, what's more scarier, the clowns in Dumbo or pink elephants on parade? Look at that. The elephant is made entirely out of elephant heads, and there's three of them on the shoulder. That's horrifying! Now, I grew up in a house where I wasn't afraid of clowns. My mom painted clowns, so clowns, to me, are not scary at all. But there's some people out there who find clowns absolutely horrifying. And just look at, I mean, sorry to scare you, warning coming up, but look at some of these clowns. These clowns aren't that scary. They're just plain old clowns, and they're running around doing funny stuff for a circus, whereas Pink Elephants on Parade, holy crap, what are we watching in this? It's a fever dream is what it is. Now, the Disney animators are doing a great job animating this thing. I mean, this is such a great modern art concept of elephants in so many different forms, and just how the scene is animated can be looked at as art. However, it is frightening. I don't know. Maybe Pink Elephants on Parade is supposed to be a scare tactic for kids so they don't go off drinking at a young age and become inebriated. I don't know, because Pink Elephants on Parade seems more like an LSD acid trip than it does an actual being drunk trip. But you know what? Disney, whatever you wanted to do, you did it. It looks great in terms of art, however, gives me nightmares. After the Pink Elephants on Parade scene, we find Dumbo and Timothy the Mouse asleep in a tree. And this is where we meet the crows. Now, this is where all the controversy and the dynamite is buried in the movie Dumbo, because the crows are widely considered as one of the most racist things that Disney has ever done. They are best known for essentially representing over-stereotyped black people in the 1940s New Orleans, including the main crow, the one that has the most lines. His name is Jim Crow. Not lying, that's in the credits. But I want to do a deep dive on these characters and find out what it is that makes them so offensive. In terms of story, these characters show sympathy towards Dumbo, and it's them that suggest that maybe Dumbo knows how to fly. In my opinion, they're the smartest characters in the movie. And according to Whoopi Goldberg, she would like to see more merchandise from the crows because they have the song from Dumbo everybody remembers. So it's not the characters themselves that are offensive. Maybe it's their language. Now, at this point of the story, where we find the circus and where Dumbo and Timothy are, is somewhere in the New Orleans, Georgia area. We don't know for certain, but we do know that it's somewhere in the South. It's a little bit north of Florida. And around that time, in the 1930s and 40s, there was Jive Talk. And considering their location, you mix that in with Creole, and the crows are speaking fluent English, and they're speaking Jive Talk, and with the mixture of the language, It is not uncommon at that time for the crows to be speaking the mannerisms and what they're saying to Dumbo and to Timothy. So in terms of historical accuracy, they're fine. So if it's not the clothes, and if it's not the mannerisms or the way they speak, and if it's not the characters themselves, what is it about these characters that people find so offensive to call them racist? In my opinion, the most racist thing about these characters are the main character is voiced by Cliff Edwards. That's right, the voice of Jiminy Cricket is the same guy who does the voice of Jim Crow, which is essentially animated blackface. If the crows are supposed to be representing the black generation of the South in 1940s, and you have a white guy doing the voice of the character, that's not right. Am I justifying the crow scene in Dumbo? Absolutely not. If you are offended by it and if you find it racist, I'm not going to take that away. However, when viewing this scene, we have to ask ourselves three questions in this order. Question one, is this depiction wrong? I would say a white person portraying a character that is representing the black community at the time is wrong. Question number two, will Disney repeat this? Absolutely not. Disney knows that blackface is wrong, and they know that certain stereotypes now are wrong, and they would never repeat it at this point in time. Question number three, should this scene be removed from the movie? I would say no, because we're living on this side of history. However, prior to the Civil Rights Movement, back in the 1940s, this was considered acceptable. And I would think that if we remove this from the Dumbo movie, we are taking away a lot of historically significant evidence of how we used to be, and we don't get to see how far we've come in movies and how we view society. So we need to leave this in the movie. Yeah, is it wrong? We're living on this side of history. We're not going to watch this movie thinking, oh, this is 100% accurate, or yeah, Disney did it, so we get to do it now. Rather, we get to watch this movie and think to ourselves, look how far we have come. So, although I don't agree with this scene completely, I will say that it does need to be preserved for the sake of history so we are not doomed to repeat it. I'm not saying that Dumbo is completely innocent of any racism whatsoever. I would say the most racist thing in this movie are not the crows. I would say there's another scene in the movie that's worse than the crows. Although the animals are the main focus of this movie and they have the most lines and they're the most carefully animated, we do see a lot of humans in this movie. We see the ringmaster, we see the clowns, and we see the kids that torture Dumbo. However, the most racist thing in this movie, in my opinion, are the happy-hearted roustabouts, the guys that build the tent. The lyrics to the song are not bad, however, they're dark-skinned, they're faceless. And it doesn't matter what they look like, according to the movie, because all they do is they just work, they put up the tent, they bring it down, and they move on to the next town. In my opinion, that's more racist than characters trying to represent the times as opposed to just ignoring it, not giving them faces altogether, and just making them dark-skinned workers. Dumbo discovers that with his giant ears, he can fly, and he becomes the biggest hit of the circus, the biggest hit of the world, where the movie ends with a happy ending that Mrs. Jumbo is no longer in captivity, and Dumbo is flying, and he's accepted by the circus, and they all live happily ever after. So the lesson we learn from Dumbo is that even though if you have an abnormality, you have to become drunk to discover your fame, and then you'll be able to be accepted after you're famous and make ton of money, right? No, that's not what the movie's about. I'm just kidding. The whole point of Dumbo is that even though you may have something about yourself that you view as your biggest flaw, it could actually be your biggest strength. Well, that does it for the 1941 original classic Dumbo. Let's take a look at the remake in 2019. Unlike Pinocchio, where it was a shot-for-shot remake of the original classic, the 2019 remake of Dumbo is a completely different movie altogether. The characters are different, the story is different, it is completely removed from the original classic. Tim Burton is the director of Dumbo. That's right, the guy who brought you Batman, Batman Returns, Beetlejuice, Big Fish, all those classics, is directing this remake. And alongside Tim Burton, of course, Danny Elfman does the music. And of course, a lot of actors who work with Tim Burton are in this film as well. Actors like Danny DeVito, Eva Green, and Michael Keaton. So again, just like Pinocchio, on paper, we have this great concept of a movie. We take a Disney classic, we add a great director, we get good actors, we have a great music score. What could possibly go wrong? Well, like I said, this movie's story is set far apart from the original classic. The movie is not so much about Dumbo, whereas it's about the circus that Dumbo performs in. The movie starts off with this circus that Danny DeVito is the ringmaster of. It's kind of a small town circus, very minimal in what attractions that it has, that even the ringmaster decides, hey, I need to get a new concept for an attraction. So he buys this elephant, whom he knows is pregnant, and he's going to feature the baby elephant as its new attraction. Of course, the baby is born, has giant ears, but instead of being shunned by the circus and considered a freak, the ringmaster just makes the elephant a clown right off the bat, and no one seems to disgrace the elephant because of that. The other focus of this movie is a family that resides in the circus. Colin Farrell plays his father, who is returning from war and lost his arm, and it makes it difficult for him to rejoin the circus because initially he was one of the famous riders and horseback riders of the circus, and now, due to the loss of his arm, it makes it hard for him to ride, so he has to find a new place in the circus. And that is being the caretaker of Dumbo. The kids discover early on the movie that Dumbo can fly. So unlike the original classic, where Dumbo only knows he can fly at the end of the movie, this is a concept that Dumbo has throughout the entire film. And in fact, this is what's going to save the circus, according to the ringmaster, Dumbo the Flying Elephant. Well, news gets around about this flying elephant that's in this small town circus, and then this big honcho guy who owns a bigger circus wants to buy Dumbo, or rather buy the entire little circus and incorporate it in his show called Dreamland. This guy is played by Michael Keaton. So when it comes to the new act that this head honcho guy has in plan for Dumbo, he's going to have his goddess of the sky, Eva Green, ride Dumbo in the circus. Oh, by the way, Dumbo knows he can fly because he starts sniffing feathers and sneezes. That's how he's able to fly, or at least do his initial takeoff. And I love the fact that they got Michael Buffer for the ringmaster of Dreamland Circus. You know, the guy in the 90s or in the 2000s, and even today, he's known for...
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, instead, he goes...
Let's get ready for Dumbo!
So, how much money did Disney shell out for him to change his iconic phrase to that? Oh, I love it. Well, things go awry because the act doesn't quite go the way that the head honcho guy wants it. One of the sadder parts of this movie is that early on in the film, Jumbo is sold because she's trying to protect Dumbo from whatever's happening around Dumbo and circus-wise. It's not really, like, as bad as the original movie, but Jumbo's still trying to protect Dumbo, but it's still seen as a mad elephant, and the ringmaster has no choice but to sell Jumbo because Jumbo's just causing too much of a ruckus. This is where Baby Mine is played, and although the original one tugs on my heartstrings, this seemed more like it was just thrown in there because, hey, it's Dumbo, we gotta have some things from the original movie. So the act doesn't go as planned because Dumbo thinks that he hears his mom off in the distance and flies out of the tent, and sure enough, he's right. Jumbo is part of this massive Dreamland circus. The head honcho guy, played by Michael Keaton, turns heel and decides to release all the original small town circus people and just keep Dumbo as his concept. This, of course, leads to the circus troupe getting together and coming up with some big old escape plan and taking Dumbo with them. At this point, it just becomes a very predictable movie. The head honcho guy becomes a victim of his own malice. He destroys his own circus because blah, 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 blah. And Dumbo and Jumbo are released into the wild, and the small-time circus seems to be thriving now that the big, bad Dreamland circus no longer is there. And that does it for Tim Burton's Dumbo in 2019. Now let's ask the burning question, which one is better? Now, as I said before, these two are totally different movies. The original one, the pacing is a lot faster, but then again, the movie's only 60 minutes long. Whereas the other one, they had to establish a lot of things, they take time to tell the story, but it's nothing compared to the original. I would even say in this movie, Dumbo, Dumbo is not even a main character. He's more of a secondary character. Winds up saving the day, yeah, but at the same time, you don't need to name the movie after him. It would be like if you took the movie Aladdin and you took out the name Aladdin for the movie and the movie was called Genie. Right? Genie isn't the main character. He's one of the main characters, and the genie is involved for getting a lot of things done for the movie. However, the hero is Aladdin, much like with Dumbo. It's not Dumbo that is the hero, whereas it's the family. It's Colin Farrell. It's Danny DeVito. It's the circus troupe that are trying to rescue Dumbo. And Dumbo, even though he can fly and he's the main attraction of the movie, it's not so much that he is the main character or even the hero of his own story, of his own movie. Now, you can tell in the remake that they played it very safe because of the controversial things that they had in the original one. Things like the crows, the roustabouts, pink elephants on parade. Now, even though there is a pink elephants on parade sequence in the remake, it's more flashy bubbles instead of Dumbo being inebriated. It's a circus performance now, and we still have the pink elephants on parade concept. And it's less horrifying than the original one. However, it's still there, but, you know, it's not as bad. They're trying to play it safe. I find the concept of the remake very hilarious because you got the small town circus competing against the big time circus. And it's almost like Disney is trying to tell its own story of what's happening at Disneyland. Like Disney, we're going to acquire the little guy, like say Star Wars, like say Fox, like Marvel, and we're going to add it to our own big family of Dreamland, of Disneyland. So Michael Keaton's character reminds me kind of Michael Eisner in a sense. And the funny part is that if I'm completely wrong, but this is a completely true prophetic movie, then Disneyland is going to collapse in on itself because of all the things that they're acquiring and not taking care of their own franchises. But that's just a concept that I have. So to answer the question, which one is better? In terms of story, they're two totally different stories. They're not a remake of each other. It's just the concepts are taken about the same. However, I would say the most memorable one of the two would have to be the original. The 1941 Dumbo utilizes its story better. It utilizes its songs better. Like Baby Mine, I said it makes me cry every single time. Whereas in the remake, it just feels like it was thrown in there. And again, the pacing of Dumbo, for that story and that concept, it shows you don't need to establish a lot of things. You can tell a story within 60 minutes and still leave feeling good and that you've watched an entire film. So lastly, did the remake ruin our childhood? No! It took concepts of the original and made them more like Easter eggs. More like, hey, remember how this was in the original? Remember this is a remake of the original? And the remake is just letting you know there was another Dumbo out there. This is another story of Dumbo. But remember, we're preserving the classic of Dumbo here. Well, that does it for the rewind of Dumbo. Is there anything that you liked, anything I missed, anything you disagree with? Go ahead and let me know in the comments below. Also, don't forget to do the Trinity of Clicks. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and share the video. Next time, we're going to be talking about Mighty Joe Young. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next time on The Real Rewind.